You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. If you take the Bay Bridge out of San Francisco and look down at Treasure Island, it's hard to miss what look like enormous piles of dirt. These mounds are actually the remains of old Navy barracks, ground into pieces, and now they signify some of the first visible steps in the long-talked-about Treasure Island redevelopment. About a year ago, the city of San Francisco broke ground on the project. It includes a ferry terminal, shops, restaurants, and 8,000 homes. It's a big deal for a housing-strapped city. KALW listener Jan Burnham heard about the development and thought about the island's past. The former Navy base there had notorious problems with its cleanup of radioactive materials. So she asked Hey Area.
I was wondering what came of the radioactive waste contamination that had to be cleaned up after the Navy left.
We sent KALW's environment reporter Angela Johnston to find out.
Our question asker, Jan Burnham, doesn't even live on Treasure Island, but it still means something to her.
I've always liked walking here. I think it's such a great view of the water and the city, and it's a beautiful place to bring people when they come to visit.
We meet up near one of her favorite spots on Treasure Island, on the west side with a view of the city. Palm trees line the paved walking path that circles the perimeter of the island. Burnham used to walk here regularly until a few years ago when she read a troubling article in the San Francisco Chronicle.
The Navy had used radioactive materials and they hadn't cleaned it up properly. They were warning people, residents here, that they had to not play in the dirt and not plant things. And I just thought that was horrible.
More than 2,000 people live on Treasure Island in former military housing. The city started leasing land from the Navy back in the late 90s. It's one of the most diverse zip codes in the Bay Area. I take Jan Burnham to meet Treasure Island resident Ben Reyes. He's rented here for 2 years.
Hi,
Hi.
Is Ben here?
Yeah,
this is Jan.
Hi,
Jan, this is Ben.
Ben's a self-proclaimed science nerd. He carries a vial of radium on his keychain and tests his tap water with a wand before he drinks it. He's from England, and when he got a job with a tech company in San Francisco, Treasure Island caught his eye because of the cheap rent. Then he Googled it.
The first immediate articles would be, you know, there's radiation discovered on Treasure Island, residents suffering health effects.
When he first moved in and started walking around the island, Ben freaked out a little.
You see very clear radioactive signs. It almost looks like a post-apocalyptic scene with cordoned off houses, abandoned houses, military barracks, and massive warning signs to keep out danger, radiation. And that does come, it both intrigued me and did seem a little bit scary.
So he started carrying a Geiger counter, a small device the size of a Game Boy that measures radiation exposure. Ben shows it to Jan and takes a reading near her feet.
At the moment, we're reading 0.07 microsievert.
That's about the amount you get when you sleep next to somebody for the night, just from the natural radiation in our bodies. You get a little more from an X-ray for a broken arm. You get 40 microsieverts sitting on a plane from New York to LA. Ben found this out the hard way when he brought his Geiger counter on a plane by mistake.
I didn't realize it was going off in the plane. It was going very loud, just like ticking noise.
Yeah.
I'm surprised no one realized. I was just like, oh God, I got to take the batteries out.
We walk to an area behind Ben's house blocked off with radiation signs.
So it's picking up. It was a little bit higher than it was over there, but it's 0.2 microsievert. So what do we see here? So still pretty low. Yeah. So we're now in between eating a banana and living 50 miles off a coal power plant for a year.
The Geiger counter reading may be a little higher here because we're standing where the Navy is searching for radiation right now, a place where the Navy buried radioactive garbage deep beneath the soil.
I'm definitely next door neighbors to a bunch of radioactive material by looking at the signs there. My friends joke at me that, you know, maybe one day you might turn into Spider-Man if you get bitten by a spider.
Ben's Geiger counter's quiet now, partly because the device doesn't read what's below the soil. That's the area of biggest concern because of the Navy's history on Treasure Island.
Once again, Bikini Atoll becomes the scene of the most dramatic nuclear explosion of all.
That's a complicated history. In the late 1930s, the U.S. government built the island for the World's Fair. The Navy took over in 1942, using Treasure Island for training. In 1946, the Navy tested the atomic bomb in the Marshall Islands. Radioactive fallout coated nearby Navy ships, and sailors didn't know how to properly clean it off. So the Navy started training them in detection and removal across the Pacific on Treasure Island.
For they may have witnessed a prelude to world destruction.
So let's go here, make a right. So let's stop here just momentarily.
I'm driving around with Keith Foreman, the Navy's environmental cleanup coordinator for Treasure Island. We visit big Art Deco-style buildings and boarded-up bungalows, radiation detection classrooms that house sources of radium and cesium. Up until the 1960s, the Navy disposed of their radioactive equipment and other toxic chemicals in a way that was okay at the time. They buried them deep underground in big industrial garbage pits, officially known as solid waste disposal areas. Foreman takes me to one that was just cleaned up.
And we're proud of this because this is the end result. The fences that were segregating this from the residences here are gone.
Was anything found in this area?
Yes. There were some low-level rad objects that were found.
Low-level rad objects. That's Navy speak for radioactive things. Tiny buttons painted with radium paint, small pieces of radioactive equipment. Foreman emphasizes the words low-level. He wants to be clear. These aren't weapons-grade materials. And they're small. Foreman pinches his fingers together as if he's holding a dime.
And they're not willy-nilly everywhere. As of this date, I believe we're at 1,220 low-level rad objects that we found on the island. All but 17 of them have been in the solid waste disposal areas that you and I toured.
1,220. Way more than earlier studies suggested. The Navy admits now those studies weren't comprehensive enough. About 5 years ago, when they started cleaning up toxic chemicals like petroleum and lead, they found more objects. The California Department of Public Health got involved and found even more radioactive materials. Now, the Navy's playing catch-up.
Well, it's a step-by-step process of discovery, so you know a lot more now than you did then. Can I admit that we made mistakes? Well, of course mistakes are made in the past. There's no perfect process, and it's easy to understand why some people's confidence can be lessened by, hey, why didn't you know back then what you know now?
A few objects were discovered under the soil near playgrounds and under the foundation of people's homes. And some of them weren't low level. In a 2013 report, the California Department of Public Health found a radioactive fragment underneath a grassy area. If it were held for an hour, it could cause radiation burns, hair loss, and ulceration.
I guess that would be a concern if it were ever in contact with somebody. Again, you're talking about things that were found at depth.
I've submitted Freedom of Information requests to get the most up-to-date info. In the meantime, Foreman says confidently, the Navy shouldn't find any more radioactive objects outside of the three garbage pits. And as long as Treasure Island residents obey their lease rules and don't dig in their backyards, Foreman says they should be fine.
It's not presenting any unacceptable risks to people who work here, people who live here, people who recreate here.
I take these assurances to Kai Vetter, a health physicist at UC Berkeley. When we talk, he's just returned from Fukushima and is about to fly to Chernobyl.
What is fascinating is Treasure Island is indeed not Fukushima Chernobyl, but is right at our doorstep.
And he says things like an earthquake or a bunch of rain like we had this winter can move soil around. Same with future construction and development on the island.
There will be enormous amount of digging and removal and changing of soil, which then would potentially expose these radioactive materials and sources.
And even though most of these objects are low level, Fetter says they're still unsafe in the wrong hands.
The potential is that you put it in your mouth, which of course will happen for small children who run around and squall around in these areas in their sandboxes and whatever, and find that and put it in your mouth. So then you ingest that material, and then the major damage starts.
Now, it's hard to make a direct correlation between health problems like cancer and radiation exposure, unless a huge portion of the population gets sick. But Vetter says what's almost more dangerous than the potential for radiation exposure is the way the Navy communicates and builds trust with the public.
One health effect one can certainly absolutely measure in Fukushima is not due to the direct effect of radiation, but the indirect effect due to the psychological impact. So the fear of the unknown, the fear of how much exposure I got, what is the fear about the future, the uncertainty about the future, that is causing an absolutely measurable health effect in Fukushima, in Japan.
He says the same goes for Treasure Island. They need to gather and disseminate good data.
Here, certainly, it could have been done better, in my personal opinion, to keep or to regain the trust in the public who will be exposed to that risk.
Definitely is an interesting place to live, though.
Ben Reyes tucks his Geiger counter into his bag. I follow him back to his house, along with Jan Burnham, the woman who originally asked KALW about radiation on Treasure Island. Ben turns to Jan and asks,
knowing what you know now, what's your opinions, and are you more fearful or of what's potentially lurking, the hidden treasures lurking beneath Treasure Island?
I still have a lot of questions. I don't think I would want to live here until I knew more. Yeah.
And what do you think about like myself or even some of the people here that, you know, might not have the resources or the means to live other places just because it's, you know, there's also subsidized housing here, you know, affordable housing.
Well, I just think that's a sad situation, you know, that people who can't afford to live in San Francisco have to live in a place that's possibly jeopardizing their health. And I think everybody has the right to, should have the right to have a safe place to live and affordable. So I understand why people want to live here, but I would just want to know more.
Ben says that, yes, there's a constant worry about radiation in the back of his mind. But he has his Geiger counter, he has stable housing. And he's more worried about what will happen when the city demolishes his apartment to make way for the new development San Francisco hopes to complete in the next two decades. Residents who've been on Treasure Island longer than 10 years will get relocation assistance. He's likely to get kicked out with very little help. On Treasure Island, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.